Hawaii. I met some of the pastors and they said, oh, they got the calling and they started the ministry here. I said, what is the way, God? What do I need to do? Bahamas or Caribbean or one of those places, you know. But here I am. Sorry? That's right. Much bigger island. No, it's good to be back. We had a good time. I was not well. Some of you know about it. As soon as I got there, I couldn't walk for a few days. But I believe I entered something there, which is not pleasant. I'll be speaking on that subject. And I don't know how long I'm going to be there. But anyway, I'm going to speak on that topic. Yeah? So we're going to just quickly pray and commit it. Gracious God, we want to thank you and praise you for who you are. We sang, Father, you are a good, good God. Your goodness always follows us. Father, there are times in life that things don't make sense, Father, what is happening around us or what is happening to us. But Father, in the midst of all that, your word is like an anchor that keeps us steady, Father. Help us to never take our eyes off that. Of your word, God, of your promises. We will always hold on to your word, knowing that you're a good God, Father. We may, for a season, we may endure things, but we know that you will turn things around in our favor. We will believe in Romans 8:28. For all things will work for good, those who love God and called according to his purpose. Even though it may not make sense, but we know that you have your purposes, your plans are good towards us. Father, as we meditate through the word, Father, that you will speak to us. Speak to us individually and collectively, Father. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Yeah.
You see, each one of us have gone through or will go through a season which are filled with barrenness, hardship, challenges. If you have not gone through, I guarantee you, you will go through it. Either you are coming out of it, you are entering it, or it is waiting for you a bit farther down the road. But the purpose of those things is never to tear you down, but to build you up. Man, this is a bit too loud. I feel like a huge echo coming through. Yeah, it's okay? Yeah. Hello. So you're going to face through those. You will face doubt, fear, frustration, worry, anger. Feel like those things are like a constant companion. You know, perhaps your circumstances has been very painful. Perhaps the things you are waiting for, you know. And sometimes there are no words to express yourself. And you feel that you are in a wilderness, where God seems 1,000 miles away from you. The wilderness is not sickness or disease or lack of things in your life. Wilderness is those times where you're doing everything, but God seems nowhere to be found. You know, we sing these songs, you know, God is good, and we are full passionate about it. His goodness is running after me. I tell you, there are times in your life you will say, nothing is running after me, I am running. You know, and asking God, get me out of here. But always remember, when you go through wilderness, God is preparing, because he want to pour out something in your life, something new. You can show me any Bible character. Whenever God wanted to do something amazing in their life, he took them on a journey of wilderness. What did he do with Abraham? He said to Abraham, you should leave your people, go to the land I will show you. We will say, no, give us a GPS coordination, where it is exactly, then I'm not going to leave right now. He didn't even know where he was going, but he left. And what he'd do, God had such a big plan that he became the father of faith. You look at Joseph, look at Jesus himself. Everybody went through those things. You know, so the Bible pictures Bible have pictures and the concepts that gives us spiritual principles that we can use in our life as a Christian. You know, so that you don't get shattered, because we live in a culture where we allow circumstances to speak louder than the word of God. We determine our identity based on what is happening to me and what is not happening to me. When things are all going well, we just say, oh, grace of God, praise God, da-da-da, all those kind of things. And when nothing is going well, we question our own identity in Christ. You allow those things that is happening around you to define you, forgetting the fact that nothing defines you, Christ does. You know, I was one of the persons I've been studying about since, Hawaii, was about Moses, you know. I love the story of Moses. I believe God have a sense of humor. You know, this man, Pharaoh decided to kill every man. You know, scripture, Psalm says that why would man plot against God? Why would they do that? And God said, you're going to mess with my child? I will spin that around. Not only you're going to look after it, you will pay for his education, you will provide everything he needs. And then, when he's all grown up, I will take him from you. That's the God we serve. You see? God, it's amazing, you know, I see this picture here where Moses, what did Moses' mom do? After 3 months he was old. If you want to read the summary, you can read it in Acts chapter 7. If you want to read it detailed, you go to Exodus chapter 3, 2 and 3 and 4, the whole of those things. Moses means he was drawn out of water. You know, what does water and river represent? The Holy Spirit. You see, it came to a time where they couldn't conceal him anymore. And he surrendered to the water. And the water became his breakthrough. There are times in our lives when we don't know what we need to do. That's when you have to be led by the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, when you're led by the Holy Spirit will always bring you to a place which will give you life. Always result in life. Why? Because that's what his purpose is, to guide us to life. You know, everything around him, is his greatest challenge came from water as well. You know, he was drawn from the water. When he wanted to lead his people, what he came across? Water. People whine against him for what? Water. The anointing you are carrying, even though it will bring the greatest breakthrough in your life, people will rise against those anointing as well. But you need to know who you are in God. Always remember that. Your anointing, people will always say, you know, let me give you an example of prophetic thing, you know, because I love prophetic, that's why I want to share from that point of view. You may say, you know, I get revelations and I get understanding, and which is fantastic thing. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And sometimes I have to stop, like for instance, you know, with the, especially people when they say they are having babies and all that kind of thing. I was like, ding. Oh, they're having a girl or a boy and all this kind of thing. But then there are other things that come across with it, that you know what the other person is thinking, and which is, can be a painful thing. You understand the intentions of heart. Remember what Jesus said. He knew all men and he knew the intents of their heart, and which is not very pleasant. And sometimes people will come against, because you do all the right thing, then people will come against you. One time Moses was celebrated in a such a great way. and the same people came against him. You see? So the wilderness, there is, you need to understand that when Moses, it reads, I'll just quickly have a read. I'm not going to read every single thing. You know, how this is where the scripture got fulfilled when God says, you know, I'll prepare the table in the midst of your enemies. How well he can prepare. For 40 years, he was taken care of as a royalty, you know. He got the best education there was. You know, it says there that, I want you to remember this scripture. I think it's in Acts chapter 7, verse 21 and 22. He says, when he was placed outside, Pharaoh's daughter took him and brought him up as her own son. Okay? And Moses was educated in all wisdom of Egyptians and was powerful in speech. Very powerful in speech. The reason I want you to remember is later on, I want to see his condition. So he has the best education there was, grew up in a leader of leaders, lived in luxury. Don't think he lacked anything in his life. How do you describe, like today, take any royal family. They pale comparison to Egyptian royalty. They had every single thing they can dream of. You know, he was so busy with everything, you know. But what happens? He says, but the age of 40, he had this realization. You know, his heart was stirred for his people. Not for 40 years. God's calling will come on you. There is a certain age when you feel that, okay, this is God is calling me. And sometimes we rush up and do, oh, God has called me, and we do it, and we fall on our face. And we wonder what happened. God has called you, but God has a timing for everything. You know, that's why Ephesians 3:1 says there is timing for everything, every activity under heaven. You know, so we read it here in Exodus 2, verse 11 and 4, he said, now it came to in those days when Moses had grown up that he went out to his brethren and looked on their hard labor, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that. When he saw there was no one around, he struck down the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. He went out the next day. Behold, two Hebrews were fighting with each other. And he said to the offender, why are you striking your companion? And what was their response? But he said, who made you prince and a judge over us? Are you intending to kill me as you killed the Egyptian? Then Moses was afraid and he said, surely the matter has become known. You see, spiritual leadership is God's appointment, not self-assumed. Always remember, just because you have a talent and gift, never take up a role unless God puts you there. You see, he thought he is talented, he is skilled, and of course he was trained, but he didn't wait for God's timing. Because when you are, you know, Proverbs 28:1 says that wicked flee when nobody is pursuing, but the righteous are bold as lion. You see, he was looking around. When God has called you to do, you have to never fear a man. You will never have to fear a man or the devil because he called you. You see? But the thing is, God uses this opportunity. He didn't lose his calling. God uses this opportunity to enroll him to his own school, the school of wilderness. And I tell you, whenever you hear a prophetic word, this is what I always say. God will say a prophetic word to you. I see you an apostle. I see you this. I believe God is going to take you to the nations, blah, blah, blah. You are pumped. You write it down. You meditate. You declare. And you think you are going through this thing. And he doesn't tell you. I just enrolled you, buddy. I just enrolled you in a school. And the next few years, that could be a long years, he takes you through that journey. And you feel like you got to see that prophet once more. This time to give him real offering. Because you think, what was he thinking about? I had this guy. What is that man who passed away? Dharma Kannan, the prophet Dharma Kannan. I was a brand new believer. He moved to Bangalore. I think he was doing things there. Brand new believer, hardly know Christ. And because I was the only one, I mean, one thing I had those days, a lot of guts. I didn't care. So the church, we were only five members. They asked me, why don't you get this prophet? I said, no worries, I'll go. I went to this big AG church and I told him, listen, we have a five-member church, would you come? He said, I need to pray about it. I said, what's the big deal? What does he need to pray about it? It's just down the road, you know. But because I didn't know much about Christ. So he came and he was prophesying at different people and he laid hands on me and started prophesying. I see you going to all these places. You're going to be, moving prophetic and blah, blah, blah and all that. I said, man, this must be the lunch speaking. Because I was going through a very hard time those days. Very tough time because of my faith. I didn't know how I will go through the next season in my life. And he was giving all these words. And he was talking about prophetic, which I hated. Because I come from a family, my aunt was an astrologer. And so I associated prophetic ministry with astrology. And I hated it. I said, that's the last thing I wanted. When he said that, I was not happy. I was like, he can walk by himself. You know, go. He was saying all these things. And he said, you will go to Middle East, then you will go around the world. I didn't have enough money to come to the church. Let go around the world. But I tell you what, everything he said has come to pass in my life. Everything he said. But before that happened, he took me to a season where nothing made sense. I just had to trust God. And that's what wilderness is. Before God can pour out, he got to prepare the vessel so that you are ready for it. You see, Moses had all the Egypt in him. How long he was in Midian? 40 years. So 40 years to bring him up, 40 years to take the Egypt out of him. You see, the first thing, as I said, around the well, again, his breakthrough, next breakthrough came around the well. He was in Midian, and what did he see? He saw a bunch of shepherds, and he saw that there were some ladies watering, and they were harassed by other shepherds. And he interfered and helped them water their sheep. You see, shepherds were despised by Egyptians. Do you know that? Do you read about Joseph? When his parents moved to Egypt, he said, do not introduce, you know, shepherds. They don't associate it with shepherds. You know, Egyptians didn't like it. That they won't sit on the same table and eat with them. But here is God brings Moses to a place where he had to learn to serve the shepherds. All his life he'd been served. You see, everybody waited upon him. He was a prince. Now he is at that place where he's not only, he have to draw water out for the shepherd. Again, that water became a breakthrough for him. He was thinking he will get a meal. He got a wife. Yeah? So always the purpose of this wilderness, as I said, is to humble you, to bring you to that place of humility. Deuteronomy 8:2 says, "Remember how Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what is in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands." The key is to humble you, to test you, to understand the true condition of your heart. Not that God may come to know you. He already knows you. That you may come to know him. That's the idea. Idea of wilderness is that you may come to know him. You know? When he strips away all the trappings, peels off all the masks, sheds all the phony costumes, you begin to see your true identity. He will strip away everything. Remove everything, all the comforts out of your life. Imagine how hard it was for Moses, yeah? A royalty who always was surrounded with people. Always. It's hard to imagine sometimes these things, but always surrounded by royalty. You know, wherever he goes, royal events to go to, visit people, always entourage of people behind him, serving him. All of a sudden, he has nobody. I know it's hard to imagine. Let me bring it home. You know, even though we may not have that, like back home, so much close families, our time is consumed by television, by telephones, by iPads, everything else. How many, if you keep your phone next to your bedside? Nobody does? Huh? Everybody. What is the first thing in the morning you look at? Is it the face of God? No, your face of your phone or a Facebook. Why? Because we are so much into it. We cannot. You miss your phone. You leave your phone home, you just lose it. We don't never take a break. We are so much always hearing. We are so used to the sound, noise. You know, in the car, have you ever driven a car with complete silence, no music at all? No, you got full blast music. When you're at home, you have a music on. You got something on. TV you may not be watching. You'll turn off the TV and vacuum on the next door. Nobody's listening. Why? Because you need to hear something. Then God brings you to that place in the wilderness. Why? Because he wants to get your attention. Desert is a place where those who lived in the Middle East, you would know. You know, this is one of the reasons. Have you ever known a lot of people will come to know Christ in the Middle East? Yeah? A lot of people. I know a lot of Hindu believers, those who came to know Jesus there. But Middle East, you will have to trust in God. You know? So desert is a place where you have nothing at all. Nobody. No friends, nothing. It's a scary thing for us. You know, I saw this guy. I love watching survival stories. People doing all these different things and surviving wilderness and all that. So this guy from Switzerland went to Tonga, one of the Tongan islands, inhabited. I think nobody was there, uninhabited island. And he decided he's going to stay there for 10 months. He brought a Swiss knife and a machete, nothing else. Within 4 days, he was going crazy. And now, this is not a desert, yeah? There are coconut trees and fishing. I mean, I will survive there. I love fishing. But because he could not talk to anybody, he was going crazy. He went on to stay 10 months, but he was going nuts. He recorded the whole whole adventure. What God does sometimes, He will strip away your friends, the people close to you. Nobody will understand you, what you're going through. Why? Because He wants your attention. Hear from me. It's not a pleasant experience. But I assure you, the outcome is going to be much pleasant. Amen. Why? Because He's going to do something in your life that would be greater. You see, always remember, no matter how lonely you feel, God is present. Always remember that. Often in wilderness experience, you feel that God is not there, He's thousands of miles away. That's because in the New Testament, we are used to His manifest presence. But we know that God is omnipresent. That's why in Psalms, David says, you know, if I ascend to heaven, You are there. If I make my bed in hell, You are there. That is the omnipresence of God. But we experience the manifest presence of God, where manifest is something that's manifest from the unseen to the seen. That's what we enjoy here. You know, that's why He said, worship was so good today, eh? We felt the presence of God. And someday, worship was not that. Why? Presence of God was not there. It was there. But we get used to it so much. That's why you as a believer, when we come to God, sometimes when you're praying by yourself, when you are at home, you may feel nothing. But that should not define who God is. Because He says in Hebrews, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am always there. Amen. Those are the words you gotta hold on to. Today we expect, you know, everything. If God is with me, everything should go well with me. You know. Even though Lord said you have trouble in this world and all those kind of thing, and there are so many scriptures that talks about suffering, we don't want none of that. We feel if God is with me, everything should go well. The Bible says about Joseph, you know. One of the things you consistently read there, and the Lord was with him. Amen. And the Lord was, He put him in the prison, and the Lord was with him. He got whipped, and the Lord was with him. Joseph, I said, I don't want that kind of God. Stay away. Closer to you, I'm always getting into trouble. I hear about a woman who went to Caracas, Venezuela. As a missionary, God called them husband and wife. They both went. And as soon as they got there, within short period, they met with an accident. And the wife became paralyzed from neck down. What would you do? God, You called us. We came. We are here to fulfill Your commission. Which part is this the reward You have given me? She had a wheelchair, completely reliant, pushed around. Husband took care. Doctor said, you will have to take care of her like a child for the rest of your life. But they remain in Caracas. She went in on her wheelchair and led hundreds of people to Christ. Another couple went to in Southeast Asia to reach the unreached group of people. They have had a baby, and they one day get the native to look after the baby. They were reaching out, they were doing things for the God. One day when they got home, they saw the baby was in the pot. In a pot, on a fire. How would you respond? to the gospel. She went insane, wife went mental. Who can blame her? She went completely insane. Husband stood there, continued the work. You know, I've been praying for the last few years that God, you will do something in me beyond my control and imagination. That you will do something in me, God. And recently when I was questioning and asking him certain things, he says, did you mean what you said? And if you did, then why are you complaining? Because you may never understand everything I'm doing, but you've got to just trust me. You see, here in Exodus, he says, during the long period, Exodus 2, 23 and 25, during that long period, king of Egypt died. Israel groaned in the slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. You see, crying is very important. God may have a lot of promises for you. All the promises are yes and amen. How many of them you get manifested? Because you got to reach out. That's what I said. When we are praying, we got to be aggressive. We have to be brokenhearted. We got to come with that conviction when we are reaching out to God. Then we will see the kingdom manifested in our lives. And here it says, and here God said to Moses, yeah, he appeared first of all in a bush, Mount Sinai. He appears to him, calls him, speaks to him. Because that's the only place he could get his attention. Remember, if he did, was in Egypt. Egypt had many magicians. Yeah? He could have not got his attention. But he brought him to a place where nobody is there, nothing else. And he saw a burning bush. And the Lord spoke to him. God sometimes removes you from your own circumstance, situation, places you somewhere where nothing can distract you. Then he speaks to you where he gets your attention. And he did that with Moses. And he says, and Moses responds, you should say this. You know, remember this guy, he's trained in all wisdom, in everything. Very skillful man who took matter in his own hands and killed an Egyptian. Now his response is this. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? Remember this guy, the most skilled person. You see, God will bring you to a place where you say, I am nothing, God. Then he says, that's it. You are the perfect candidate for me. When we think that we got it everything, I got my education, I got my degree, I got my talent, and I want to pursue it, he can't work with you. That's why Jesus said, if you wish to follow me, you must deny yourself, take up the cross and follow me. If you wish to follow me, you must first die to yourself. Why? Because if you don't, you won't trust me in everything. The whole idea of this experience was God was teaching Moses, you got to rely on me. You got to trust in me. You know, scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at a proper time. Amen. And that's what happened to Moses. He came to a place, he says, I'm nobody. How can I go? You know, if you read in Acts, it says that he was very good in what we read, in speech, eloquently in speech and everything. And one of his excuses here, he was saying, God, I can't even speak properly. You know, I am nobody. I can't speak. And then God gets upset with him, saying that who created the mouth? This is where God does. He brings us to a place where we can reach. Because what happens is, if we ever do with our talent and skills, we will dictate everything in life. But when we know that, because talent and skills will take you only this far. When he asks you to do something out of your comfort zone, you won't do it. Why? Because you have never experienced it. How many of times do you think Moses has said, hey, listen, this staff you have in your hand, nothing. There is a major sea, stretch your hand, and it will give way. You're kidding me? This stick, you want me to stretch? These people are facing, you know? We would say, hey, is there any other way? Is it Qantas flying over or, you know, Jetstar free tickets? We will take that rather. But that's why he had to break him, bring him to that place where his total confidence is in God. Amen. Everything that happens in your life, God wants to bring you to that place where you trust him and him alone. Amen. Nobody else. Not a man, not a person. Many people will say the situation is impossible in your life. These things cannot be turned around. But Jesus says, trust me. Amen. That's the whole purpose of this Christian journey. We are the people, those who have to believe for the impossible. You can say that many things may say to you, this is not possible in your life. That job situation is not going to come through. You will never experience a breakthrough. You cannot have a child. You cannot have this. You cannot have that. That sickness will overcome you. That's when you got to stand up. And you got to say, you know, my God is more than able. Amen. That should not just remain in a song. It should, from the song, it has to saturate our hearts that we will continually declare unto the end that my God is more than able. You see, you don't understand. Sometimes we think the miracle of Exodus was parting of the sea and doing all those things. But we forget the logistics that was required. You know, we went to the camp. I mean, I didn't give. Sorry, I was not there. But you guys went, I went. So who was in charge? Devon was in charge for the food?
Yes.
Yeah, you see. I know that. Devon would be in charge for the food. Next time we will hunt and bring you food. Now, how many people were there? 50 people? Imagine the logistic, huh? How long it took to prepare. Everybody's thinking, oh, food is there. Oh, we want parotta, we want biryani, we want all this thing. You know how many people he led out? They were men. So they estimate there is 2.5 million people. 2.5 million people, you know how much food they need one day? 2,000 tons. One day, there's a lot of chicken. 2,000 tons, actually. 2,000 tons. How much water? 43.6 million liters. That has 3 freight trains. You know how much wood they need? This is desert, yeah? Where is the wood going to come from? They needed 4,000 tons of wood. And when these people travel, they needed 1,900 square kilometers of space. No wonder people didn't allow them to cross. They say that if you cross my land, I never have to create a pathway, never have to tar because it would be a pathway. And they said that it took they crossed the sea overnight. If they did it in a single pile, you know how in the movie we see a small ball here, it will take them 35 days, and the length of the line would be 1,200 kilometers. That means from here to Kangaroo Island.
Forget about Adelaide, further down.
So the sea had to be parted at least 5 kilometers in width so that 5,000 people in a row can cross it. Now that's a miracle. Imagine providing the quail, right? Did you see about the quail? The rock. How many of you went, oh, I'm thirsty, let's go to the rock. Big rock. But God provided it. Quail weighed so much there, they said a day and a night and the next day, they caught quail, 60 bushels, which is huge, kilos and kilos of quail, that much quail. They were drying up, soaking, curry, fry, everything, KFC, whatever they want to make. And the Bible says the Lord was, as the quail was still in their teeth, they were like toothpick, sitting and chatting, this is a good day, he sent a plague. You know why? Because they always wish to go back. You always remember. I love the sermon, burning the bridges and the ships. Do you remember? I'm going to ask you, man, I've listened to it. You think I was not there, I'd learn. You got to expect the suddenlies in your disappointments. You remember that first sermon? Ah, there you go. You got to expect. The sermons are not spoken so that you put it, oh, good sermon, yeah, let's go for lunch. Now you got to expect that God, you said a word, you released a word in our church today here. I want to see a breakthrough because your word never fails. I'm going to hang on to that word until I see that word manifest in my life.
Amen.
That's the purpose of the word. See, Moses, I felt that it says that he was the most humblest person. Scripture says, there was nobody humble like him on the face of this earth. He didn't start that way, did he? But God brought him to that humility. Once God done with you, once he stripped with you, cleaned up, I tell you, nothing would be left in you to boast about anything. You know, today as I was driving here, driving through, he just reminded me about something. And there was a song happening, and then he said, what about this? Are you going to lay down this? Are you going to willing to lay this down? And I said, I never thought about it. And I said, yeah, I will lay it down right now before I got here. He's going to ask you, are you willing to lay it down? Because when God starts working in your life, you'd never have to worry how things are going to pan out. It will always pan out. God is a God of second chances. We all have made mistakes. We all have gone through, not always done 100% right, but God is a God of second chances. No matter what your situation is, he will always bring a breakthrough. Hebrews 3, 7, verse 7 and 8 says, therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of the trial in the wilderness. Never. Isaiah 48, 10, 11 says, behold, I have refined you, but not as a silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction for my own sake, for my own sake. I will act. For how can my name be profaned and my glory I will not give to another? The purpose is refining. You know, gold, we all wear gold. We are Pentecostal people, we don't wear gold. It's a joke, huh? You can wear it. Because if you can't wear gold, then you will have a hard time in heaven. Because they're paved by gold. Where are you going to walk? Maybe you got to buy that hoverboard. Don't get offended, huh? I'm sorry. But what I'm trying to tell you is gold is easily moldable. You have to add alloy to make it hard. That means you have to add other metal to make it tough. God refines you because so that you can be molded easily. That's why he refines, he removes the dross out of it. You understand? That's what God's purpose is. That you are so moldable, you are so adaptable, you are so easily. David, he took him through. And what did he call David at the end of it? Man after God's own heart. Even though he's man after God's own heart, we will say, God, hey, sorry, just a moment. This list, let's go through this list. Which part is heart? But God sees him. Why? Because he went through everything. And he was always responsive to God. That's what God desires. He doesn't see your weaknesses. He doesn't care how many mistakes we have done. No matter what we have done, he still believes in you. He still believes he can shift and change things. He believes that you are created in his image, and he wants you to walk in the fullness that God has called you to. That's the reason he wants to take you, not to make your life miserable. Every season, he's trying to develop you so that you walk as a sons and daughters. That's why Romans it says the whole creation waits for the manifest sons of God and daughters of God. You know, you are also called the sons, ladies, as we are called the bride. It's hard to understand that we are the bride of Christ. So manifestation of sons. So what it says, a manifestation is talking about the huios, the mature sons of God. Mature sons of God, so that we can walk in the fullness. The whole creation, yeah? Not church, not just people, the whole creation. You know, I've been to some conferences and I've seen, recently connected with somebody. They see, there is a church in even in India, they say that everything around them is barren, but within the church compound, everything is flourishing. Because the whole nature responds to the mature sons of God. We read about Sadhu Sundar Singh, St. Francis of Assisi. The animals came and had fellowship with them. Why? Because God, creation responds to the sons and daughters. You know. So today we're going to pray for a few things. One of the most important things is, I think we're going to start more doing this on a regular basis, is whenever we speak a word, we give an opportunity to pray for people. Because word intend to do something always. Always. That's the purpose of the word. Purpose of the word is not just to have a head knowledge. God is the knowledge of experiential knowledge. You know, in Hebrew culture, in Greek culture, what it is, everything is knowledgeable. It's about knowledge. But in Hebrew culture, everything has to be felt. You understand? Through feeling and experiencing, we know God in a better way. That's the Hebrew culture. That's why whenever we pray about certain things and we release what God is speaking. So today as we sing a song, if there is anything that you're waiting on and you believe that God is a God of breakthroughs and the God's goodness can manifest in your life, that his intentions towards are good, no matter what it is, it could be a physical healing, it could be a job situation, it could be anything. All you are asking, God, pour something in my life. God, take me on that journey, Father, that you will mold me, sanctify me, cleanse me. Bring me that to that place that I would be a vessel worthy for your honor. If it is that you, then you stand. And we're going to pray. I don't care what your situation is. You are saying that, you know, this is one thing I'm asking God for. This is one breakthrough I'm asking for. This is something I'm asking for my loved one. This is the healing I'm requesting for. This is the breakthrough I am desiring for. God has a calling on my life, but I am yet to see those things manifested. Then you stand. We're going to sing this song, and then we're going to pray at the end. And I pray that you will sing this song as a declaration. Not just the words, but see those words manifested in your life, coming to pass in your life.